is, it's not enough. It's not enough to save us. All it does is condemn us and bring us to our knees and doubt and fear. But thank God you sent your Son to reveal yourself to us. And we pray that we rejoice always in this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hey, John, could you unmute your mic, please? Could you unmute
the mic? I thought I was muted. I'm not. I turned it on. Okay.
On top of one, red or green?
Good, okay, I turned it off. My bad.
Okay.
I'm technologically inept.
Probably should have assumed it's red, so.
Article 4. You guys want to turn to your confessional. Article 4, the inadequacy of the light of nature. We're going to read it and we're going to talk about it. Or I'll lecture about it and you guys can stop me if you had something to interject. The inadequacy of the light of nature. There is, to be sure, a certain light of nature remaining in all people after the fall, by virtue of which they retain some notions about God, natural things, and the difference between what is moral and immoral, and demonstrate a certain eagerness for virtue and for good outward behavior. But this light of nature is far from enabling humans come to a saving knowledge of God and conversion to Him. So far, in fact, that they do not use it rightly, even in matters of nature and society. Instead, in various ways, they completely distort this light, whatever its precise character, and suppress it in unrighteousness. In doing so, all people render themselves without excuse before God. So the title of this is Inadequacy of the Light of Nature. So let's begin by defining what is the light of nature. Go.
What we can see about God from creation.
What we can see about God from creation. That's a pretty good definition. Anything else? Anybody want to add something? It's pretty good. What we can see about God in creation.
It's written on our hearts.
It's written on our hearts. Conscience.
One of the two ways that God reveals Himself. So this is the way that God is showing Himself.
One of the two ways that God reveals Himself and shows Himself. The light of nature, we call it general revelation sometimes, or referred to as common grace in certain spectrums. Okay, I want to read a song. This song, I love this song. Bear with me as I read it. Listen to the lyrics. A song by Chris Rice. A purple sky to close the day. I wade the surf where dolphins play. The taste of salt, the dance of waves, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. A lightning flash, my pounding heart. A breaching whale, a shooting star, give testimony that you are, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him, all His mighty works, there is no language where you can't be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, cratered moon and sparrow's wings, oh, thunder's boom and Saturn's rings. Unveil our Father as you sing, and my soul wells up with hallelujahs. I praise Him all, His mighty works. There is no language where you can't be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The pulse of life within my wrist. A fallen snow, a rising mist. There is no higher praise than this. Oh, my soul wells up. Oh, my soul wells up. Yes, my soul wells up with hallelujahs. Oh, praise Him, all His mighty works. There is no language where you can't be heard. Your song goes out to all the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I love this song and its portrayal of the way God maintains the order of things in the world and how we enjoy these things, including, of course, our beating hearts, pulse beating in our wrists, the way that we can enjoy the moon, which God placed in the sky to give us light at night, and the design of a sparrow's wings. These things scream out. These things scream out to us that there is a God. Still, this is not enough to save us. We see order in the universe in which we live. Stop to think. If God removed His sustaining, life-giving, maintaining hand, what would happen? Think about the changing of the seasons and how they are orderly. And we can trust in their changing at certain times of the year. Farmers plant crops based on this. Fishermen can anticipate what kind of fish will be near their shores to harvest. Yet, this is not enough to save us. Consider that we all have a sense of morality, knowing right from wrong, good from evil. We live in a world where, even after the fall, we still know to do these things to some extent. Yet, this is still not enough to save us. I came across this definition, and I hope this helps to determine it just a little bit more intellectually for the light of nature. The light of nature, then, is an expansive category and has many uses. It is natural reason, and as such, it does not refer only to the limited knowledge of God we have from creation, but also to the knowledge of ourselves, of the world, of our family and country, of the moral law, of mathematics, the laws of logic, language, grammar, history, politics, geography, biology, rhetoric, etc., etc. Yet, this is not enough to save us. Ecclesiastes 3:11 reads, "He has made everything beautiful in his time, and he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." Psalm 19:1-6 reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs his course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." Sound familiar? Kind of sounds like the song I just read by Chris Rice. Not enough to save us. So how have we distorted the light of nature? How have we distorted the light of nature? Romans. You know, I was going to go here and talk about nature and man's suppression of truth and what man has done. Romans 1:18-23. You guys probably recite this without me reading, but I'm going to read it anyway because it is God's word, and this is where we get all information that applies and leads to anything that we teach here. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." As I just stated, God has made himself known through the beauty of a sunset, the vast oceans, and the life that lives within its waters. Resurgence of life that comes in the spring when budding plants bring forth flowers, and the singing of the birds in the wee hours of the morning. We experience love for our children and friends, longing to serve them, spend time with them, and yet this is an incomplete love. It is corrupt and it is selfish. Do these words seem harsh? Consider what Steve walked us through last week. Unless the Holy Spirit gives us new life, we are doomed. Unless the Holy Spirit gives us new life, we are doomed. We are, Steve mentioned again last week, we are unable and unwilling to turn to God and be healed and have our distorted nature reformed. We collectively, all of us, have exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and have placed our misguided worship on sinful man. So we are without excuse. So why are we without excuse? The revelation of God, even in nature, as I was saying. Mankind has a serious problem. We see in these passages of Scripture that we have enough information about God through His creation and how we have neglected, and distorted the truth, refusing to acknowledge Him and ascribe the greatness to Him which He is due. Our sinfulness and truth suppression are evident, creating God in our image, fashioning idols with our hands, as though God would honor and consider this worship. This is typical of man. Our hearts are idol factories, creating things that look like us, lowly things which the Almighty Sovereign has created simply by the word of His power. Isaiah 44, 9 through 20. This is a long portion of passage of Scripture. If you want to turn there. Isaiah 44, 9 through 20. Reads this. All who fashion idols are nothing, and the things they delight in do not profit. Their witnesses neither see nor know, that they may be put to shame. Who fashions a god or casts an idol that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his companions shall be put to shame, and the craftsmen are only human. Let them assemble. Let them stand forth. They shall be terrified. They shall be put to shame together. The ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. Shapes it into the figure of a man with the beauty of a man to dwell in a house. He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak. Lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar, and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for man. He takes a part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. Also, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over the half he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. Also, he warms himself and says, "Aha, I am warm. I've seen the fire." And the rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They know not, nor do they discern, for he has shut their eyes, so they cannot see, and their hearts, so they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is their knowledge discernment to say, "Half of it I burned in the fire, I also baked half of it, or baked bread on its coals, I roasted meat and have eaten. Shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray. And he cannot deliver himself or say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand?" What more can I say of the idiocy of man? What more can I say to the idiocy of man? But yet, we still have some type of conscience and some sense of things moral. God has not removed his hand totally. If he had, society would implode. These things are enough for us to know that there is a God. Yet, it leaves us without excuse for our depravity. It leaves us without excuse for our depravity. Again, still, this is not enough to save us. The reason this article is here, the reason we're talking about this today, is because of the misguided and unbiblical perspective of the Remonstrants, who taught, if you want to go a couple pages forward, it's rejection of errors, Roman numeral 5. I think it's on page 44 of some of the booklets. This is what we're arguing against.
and us as well. I think it's on page 4. I don't know if it's on that. 44 on the little booklet. I'm not sure where it is in the big one, Steve. 45, okay. 53 to 45. Okay, here's what it reads. Stay with me on this, all right? Here we go. Rejection of errors, Roman number 5. Who teach, keep in mind this is remonstrance, who teach that corrupt and natural humanity can make such good use of common grace, by which they mean the light of nature, which we're speaking, or of the gifts remaining after the fall, that they are able thereby gradually to obtain a greater grace, evangelical or saving grace, as well as salvation itself. And that in this way, God, for his part, this is God's part, shows himself ready to reveal Christ to all people. Since God provides to all, to a sufficient extent and in an effective manner, the means necessary for the revealing of Christ for faith and for repentance. Basically saying, God has done his part now. The rest of it is up to us. We need to choose God. We need to choose salvation now. We see in creation. And gradually, when we get a bigger and better look of who God is, we're naturally going to turn. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Kind of scary when you think about it. Again, let me remind you what Steve discussed last week concerning man's inability to do anything good and his lack of desire to do so. Remember, Ephesians 2, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Without regeneration, by the Holy Spirit, we are hopeless. When I speak of things good, I'm speaking specifically of the things that glorify God. As I read in Romans chapter 1, God has revealed in his word that we have exchanged the truth for a lie, and we wound up worshiping the creature rather than the creator. In the fall, man's motives are tainted and only evil all the time. Genesis 6:5. But the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Anything we do is corrupted by sin, except through Jesus Christ. Anything we do in the flesh is corrupt and not worthy of anything to God. It just brings condemnation on us. We know this truth. We've all suppressed this truth. We see this light. We've neglected and rejected the light. Isaiah 64:6 reads, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." For some reason or other, those that oppose this biblical perspective of man's fallen nature believe that man can somehow gradually get better and in time make an intelligent, informed decision based on its progressive understanding of common grace or the light of nature. The audacity to think that God has shown man his goodness in creation and uses this to hearken to man to come and place their trust in Jesus, stay with me, is now contingent on man. It's now contingent on man and leads to an unbiblical view of salvation. We do believe that this general revelation of God through the light of nature, because of our sin, is enough to condemn us and leave us, again, without excuse. We believe, because of God's word, that man is totally depraved and cannot and would not turn to God unless he does a miraculous work and regenerates them. We don't, nor can we, gradually see more grace in nature. We need God to drastically act and give us new hearts that can receive the grace of salvation, which only
He can give by His Son through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 reads this. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Mankind needs the work, this work specifically, of God, or we are all doomed to an eternity separated from Him. The way of salvation is through God's intended means, and His means are by being raised to newness of life, by grace, through faith, trusting in His Son, Jesus the Christ. Through this regeneration, we now hear His voice. You and I, as believers, in this work of God alone, will find pleasure and joy in the aforementioned song by Chris Rice. All those things, I actually weep when I hear that song. I wouldn't have wept 25 years ago. I weep because I see that He has created all these things. And He's done it for God and His glory. But we get to rejoice in that. I look at an ocean, I look at it, it's a different perspective. I remember fishing and catching, I'm being personal now for a second. And I catch this huge fish in this vast ocean with a little piece of meat on a hook. And I think to myself, God provides for me in this regard. You know, before then, it was just fishing. Now I look at it as though God provides, and I enjoy that. And I relish it, and I thank Him for that. Our hearts are idol factories, though. We see a sunset. I see a sunset. I send it to my wife. I say, God, show it off again. This is His way to show that He's in charge. He's in power. But we don't know that until we know Jesus Christ. We know Jesus Christ. We see that sunset. We praise Him for it. And He gets the glory for it. We get to enjoy it. Somebody sends you a picture, the first thing you want to do, who sent that picture? That's a great picture. Who took that picture? You know, I don't know if some of you may know Ansel Adams. I mean, he's a world famous photographer, but I know his name. Why do I know his name? All he did was take a camera, point it at what God had created, and gets credit for it. You know, that he my son's a great photographer. I enjoy his pictures. But God has given him something to show Himself off. Does that make sense to everyone? Good. But the most beautiful thing we know is God Himself in the revelation of Jesus Christ. When we see all these things, they point to us. And the reason we know this is because He has chosen to reveal Himself to us. Our foolish hearts were darkened. We had no taste for heaven's joys, did not know His light within. But then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. This is who we're contesting. We're saying that this is the work of God. I have nothing to do with this. I simply receive it, and I enjoy it, and I give God the glory and the praise. Anybody, what time do we have?
26, 4 minutes.
Couple minutes. Any comments, questions? James?
Yeah, I have thought through all this, and obviously the scripture you use supporting the doctrine of the truth of all this is very encouraging. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Christy and I were thinking the same thing at the same time, which is, yes, when we were fallen man, there was a light of nature enough for us to seek and understand and pursue the notion of a God, right, even though perfectly and completely wrongly. But yet, even after saved, there's enough of the impression of the fall of man for us to still have to fight the idol factories,
yes,
that were there before.
Yes.
And I think of that verse in Romans, who will free me of this body of death, and that one day will come true. So,
yep.
So true.
Amen, brother. Amen. That's it. We still. Stephen.
I feel like this is just an extension for no gospel preaching. Because we just see people low all the time, just pointing them to the light of nature. The gospel means that the center of it, which is the secret revelation in Christ.
Yes. The specific revelation. I didn't want to get too far ahead because we're going to be talking about that in coming weeks. But I just want us to understand that this is a work of God. You know, we can see enough of God in nature to condemn us.
Yeah.
But it's not enough to save us.
Yeah, John, you know, like with the the series of articles that we're going through, it's almost like the writers are responding to every attack that our flesh could have about in Christ alone being faithful. Like, that's the only way we could be saved. Well, the light of nature, we're going to see, no, that's been dismantled.
Right.
The law, it's going to be dismantled. Because that's what our flesh is going to do. It's going to, we've been delivered the bad news. We're lost. We're cursed. And really what they were coming up against were people that were saying, there's a way out other than Christ.
Right.
Yes.
And that is incredibly dangerous. And that's why these articles are so important to us. We have to confess these things because you leave a little crack in the door and say, yeah, light of nature, that's helpful. That's just a crack in the door to heresy and falling away and drifting from Christ.
Yeah.
And so that's why all of these, we see it kind of going in a row. It's almost like somebody's bringing up well, what about this? Cannot say it.
It heaps coal on our heads in the sense where, because it's condemning us. We are condemned because of this light of nature, because we all know it, and yet we choose through Adam and through our own selfish sin that we would rather have what we want when we want it. But, as James pointed out, that's why we're here together talking about these things, to remind one another of God in Christ Jesus, so that we place Him on the throne, not ourselves.
Yes.
So. Good? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ and this revelation that you have given us by removing the heart of stone from our bodies and giving us a heart of flesh that can receive the things about you and show us the goodness and mercy that you give us daily, hourly, by minute. We thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.